It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and this week is a special edition of Fresh Oil. Our desire is to share a fresh word each day that will encourage you and uplift you as you tune into the program. And this week on Fresh Oil, I'm doing what I call the story behind the song. Over the years, I've written a couple hundred songs, and over 100 of those I have recorded on CDs and albums. And this week, I'm featuring some of my favorite songs, and I'm telling you the story behind the song. Almost every song I write comes after an experience that I've gone through or one of my loved ones has faced. And today I want to share probably one of the most important songs I've ever written in my life. I remember a few years back, I was having dinner with my friend Kevin Jessup in Florida, and I shared with him a new song that I had just wrote, and it came with such a heavy anointing. And I said, this is probably the strongest anointing I felt since I wrote my pro-life song, Cry the Little One. He then asked to hear the song. He said, I didn't know you wrote a song. We've known each other since we were teenagers. And my wife had the song on her phone, so she played it for him. And he said, is there any way you could make a music video for us to play at The Return in Washington, D.C.? Now, if you don't remember The Return, it was a huge event that was in September of the year 2020, and it was held on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and thousands of people gathered there as far as the eye could see, with my friend Kevin Jessup, Jonathan Kahn, all sorts of people that were there for that special event. But I wrote the song back in 1984, and who could have imagined that it would find its place in history that day in the year 2020? As Ruth Bader Ginsburg was lying in state that day at the Capitol, as Amy Coney Barrett was being sworn in as the Supreme Court Justice who would help overturn Roe v. Wade, and at the same time, my song would go out to the world, played on giant screens there on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. That was such an amazing day. But now let me tell you the story behind the song. See, in February of 1984, just months before I started Grace Family Church, I was serving as a youth pastor. And I showed the film called The Silent Scream to educate my youth group on the subject of abortion. It was a film produced by Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Nathanson was the world's leading abortion provider, who had a change in heart as technology advanced and he was finally able to clearly see that the babies he was terminating in the mother's wombs were actually responding to pain. Nathanson quit his lucrative practice and he went on to spend the rest of his life fighting the pro-life cause and speaking out against abortion. I could tell the film really affected my youth group as they were very silent at the end of the film. But I remember going home that night with tears in my eyes, crying out to God, saying, please let me do something to make a difference to stop this horrific plague on our society. As I have done since my early teenage years, I sat down at the piano and I prayed for God to give me a song that could say the message I was feeling on my heart. First came the melody. It was written in minors, as so many sad songs play out. Then came the words of the unborn child in his mother's womb. I later recorded a demo of the song and then would record it on my Bridge Builder album in the 1990s. Now, before I ever sing this song, whether it's at a pro-life rally or even on this program, I like to always preface the song by saying, while abortion is a sin, it's not the unpardonable sin. It's not just the baby that's the victim. But I have counseled moms who spent a lifetime in shame and regret, wishing they had not made that awful choice. Now here is one of the most important songs I've ever written in my life. My song from the viewpoint of the unborn child. It's called Cry of the Little One.
I'm a tiny little baby boy in my mother's womb. Every day it seems that I am growing. I've got my daddy's eyes and my mama's curly hair, waiting for my day to come, just knowing that my mama's gonna hold me tight. Dad'll be so proud. Think of all the sounds, oh, that I will say out loud. Oh, it won't be too much longer. I know I just can't wait. I wonder what my name will be. I just hope that I'm not late. Saw the doctor, I don't know what he said. Maybe she's not feeling good. Oh, she's lying there in bed. Heard her crying late last night. If only I could see, I bet she'd feel much better. Lord, if she could hold me. Oh, my hands are growing stronger. Move around. Tell me how much longer till my feet can touch the ground. Inside the womb, mama's at the doctor. Oh, I know it's way too soon. Hope she's feeling better. They just took us down the hall. Probably won't be serious. I heard my daddy call. But just as I was growing up, they pulled me from her womb. They took my little body and they broke it all in two. Somehow Jesus found me. He held me in his arms. Told me that he loved me. It just seemed to break his heart. He said, don't be disappointed. Child, I know the way you feel. They pierced my side. I was crucified. Oh, my body they did kill.
Very heavy song I wrote back in 1984, and the song is called Cry the Little One. You know, when we aired the song at the Return in Washington, D.C., when they aired the music video, the next week I was sitting in my office after I returned home, and I received a phone call from a graduate of UCLA, a lady who writes screenplays for movies. And she said, Keith, I would like to use your song in my movie. And she sent me the script, which I approved, and it's now in pre-production. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms of David. David said this. He said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. Friend, we're living in a day when abortion has become a hot topic in politics. But it's really not a political issue. It's a spiritual matter. When God gave his law to Moses, the sixth commandment told us clearly, you shall not commit murder. It doesn't matter if the baby is just a tiny child in its mother's womb or an elderly person who society wants to cast aside and say we don't need for them to live. See, God's the author of life, and he says no. He says no. Solomon said in Proverbs 24, verse 11 through 12, he says, "Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, 'But we knew nothing about this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards the life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done?" See, friend, I've often found myself wondering, if I was alive during the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, would I have been a Corrie Ten Boom? Would I have spoken up? I sure hope so. You see, my friend, we're living in an age when millions of babies are being killed in the mother's womb. And we as Christians need to speak up and do something about this Holocaust that's happened in our society. For just a moment, I want to speak to those of you who are listening who had an abortion. I know how Satan works. Isn't it something how he talks us into sin? How he deceives us and makes us think it's the right thing to do or it's the pleasurable thing to do. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are just for a season. You see, friend, there comes a day when we recognize we've made bad choices, we've made wrong decisions. And if that's you today, and if you've been through the horrific pain of an abortion, I want you to know something. God is so close to you today. The Bible said he's close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I'm not here today to condemn you. I'm here today to offer you forgiveness and healing that comes through the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did for you. I believe we need to speak up during this election period, this time when abortion's going to be on the forefront of our news. It's going to be touted by the enemy, saying, "This is the thing that people need. We need this as a choice." It's not a choice. Only God has the choice of when it's our time to die and our time to be born. There's an interesting passage of scripture in Job chapter 31 and verse 13 through 15. Job says this, "If I have denied justice to my men servants and maid servants when they had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers?" My friend, I want you to know that God is the author of life. Even when people have no idea that their actions are going to lead to the birth of a child, and they act so surprised when they find out. I want you to know something, friend. God's never surprised. He is the author of life. He put a spirit and a soul within that tiny little baby inside the mother's womb. God gave a plan for that child's life. As a pastor, I feel compelled to speak out against abortion. Sometimes people say, "But Keith, you shouldn't say anything because it's a very controversial subject." No, I believe it's very black and white. I believe God made it clear that he is the author of life. If you're here today listening to this program and you're saying, "Keith, I did make a bad choice and I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what I should do." Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus is just as close as the air you breathe. All you need to do is call out to him and say, "God, I need your help. I made a mistake." Let me tell you something. One day you're going to meet that child in heaven, and you're going to be able to see that child, because every baby from the moment of conception, God made them a living, breathing soul. They're alive. Friend, it's no accident that you tuned in to this radio program today. I believe God brought us together for such a time as this. This week on Fresh Oil, we're doing the story behind the song. And each day I'm sharing a song that I've written and recorded that has a very special story behind it. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. Tomorrow I'm going to share another song that I believe will bless you, and the story behind the song, Walking Grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, but He makes His mercies new every morning.